Hello?
Hi.
Hi, is it
Delsine.
Delsine?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, welcome to the Fat Yogi Show.
Thank you.
Are you there? Hello? Hi. One of the things is recording. When recording, you have to have good reception. Do you have good
Hi.
reception? Hi, do you have good reception?
Yeah.
Are you
Yes.
okay?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay right now?
Yes, I
Okay,
can.
perfect. It might have
Okay.
just been my Wi-Fi or something. I don't know.
Okay. No
Anyways, we're okay
problem.
now.
I can definitely edit some of this stuff. So,
Okay.
okay, so welcome to the Fat Yogi Show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I am too.
So I love on your bio, you on Instagram, you say lover, friend, and crazy chick. Why do you consider yourself a crazy chick?
Maybe more so when I was in high school, but I think it's my mentality of like I am who I am, so like I can be pretty out there in a good way. So I think
Awesome.
that yeah, that's why I think a lot of my friends think I'm crazy too. So in a good crazy. So that's why that's there. Yeah.
Why do you think they think you're crazy?
I think just because I'm maybe I should change it and not put crazy. Like it's more so like maybe just like I'm real and
Okay.
I'm kind of like out there with like ideas or like relationships with people and things like that. I'm a pretty open-minded person
Yeah.
compared to some people I know. So maybe I should change that because I'm not necessarily crazy, but
I feel like, the term crazy, when you sit down and think about it, when you're younger, I think that's really a common thing. 'Cause I did the same thing. I remember I labeled myself as crazy fat runner, crazy runner chick. I feel like I had
Yeah.
those handles when it came to like apps that you had to sign up for and create some sort of account or something.
Yeah.
I would put crazy as the first one because, some my personal name like would be taken, so I would just add the word
Right.
crazy. So I guess for me, like I just kind of like related to that a little bit because I actually did do that when I was growing up.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why I was talking about it. But yeah, like being real and like authentic, I think that's awesome. So I appreciate you kind of like breaking it down for me.
Thank you. Yeah.
So how did you find me?
I think so. Just with being on Instagram and like having like friends as well who are like other fat yogis doing yoga, I think just through their like connections and who they were following. So I think that's how, and just like seeing your posts really like being inspirational and then listening to your podcast, which I love. So yeah, so that's how that kind of all happened.
Awesome. Well, like I was kind of scrolling through your Instagram and I see you're starting yoga teacher training, which is exciting, and you told me that in your little bio too.
Yeah.
So, you said you had your first class on Saturday?
Yeah, so Saturday and Sunday, so it's for 10 weeks and then all day Saturday and Sunday. So through Zoom account, like we're doing everything
I
online right
see.
now. So
I see.
yeah.
Did they have you read any books before you started?
So I'm trying to think. They had us So the lady who's teaching us the yoga philosophy, she actually wrote a book. And then they also gave us like a handout called Yoga Self-Transformation. So just reading that and then going through like the different yoga practices and just pretty much following along in her book that she wrote.
I see.
Yoga philosophy, it's very it's a lot to take in. Like
It
it's a lot.
is.
It's wonderful and I'm loving learning about it. It's yeah, it's great. So
Yeah, I agree. When I first was doing my yoga teacher training, because I did mine from September of last year till January of this year. So okay. It's still pretty fresh in my mind too. And when we were going over that philosophy part, it felt like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what? A lot of, yeah.
Yeah, like I was kind of, it made me question some things. And like, I always thought of yoga, of course, as asana or meditation and mm-hmm. breathing and those types of things. And of course they're more limbs, but like, yeah, the philosophy part definitely threw me for a loop. And the person who was doing my what was it called, like going over all the bones and the muscles and the anatomy part of it, he literally said at one point, he said, you know, we all came from fish, right? Like, it wasn't a question. Oh, like, wow. In a way that you could answer it in a different way, you know? And so I felt, yeah. like, very triggered by that, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, well, is it right? You know what I
yeah.
mean? Yeah. So, but, yeah, like, we definitely got super deep, too. So I feel you on that philosophy part. As you kind of go through your yoga teacher training, I'm sure you're going to have moments that come up that are similar in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
So, tell me more about you. Like, how did you grow up? Do you prefer going by D?
D or Delphine, like Delphine. Either or, if people call me, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me the full Delphine kind of like childhood story.
Yeah, so I grew up with my grandparents and my mom. I still don't really have a relationship with my dad. My parents like split up when I was probably around two. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was just like always me and my grandparents and my mom. And then when they passed away, it was just my mom and myself, which had its ups and downs, I guess, being a single parent and having, especially having a daughter who's like me. So, So I never really had a relationship with my dad's side of the family. It was really only like my mom's side of the family, which is really small anyways. I feel like I wouldn't, it's interesting. Like, I don't know anything else but being a kid who has experienced divorce with their parents. And uh-huh. I don't know if I necessarily would have changed it. Like, I loved it just being my mom and myself.
Yeah.
So it was always just really me and my mom. And then she ended up, so I guess this was probably like 6 or 7 years ago, she ended up remarrying and then moving to England. So then that was hard on myself, just because it was always just, I sometimes say there was kind of like a codependency with my mom and myself. And so when she moved, that was really hard, because it was like, oh, okay, she has someone else in her life now. Yeah. And so she ended up passing away. It'll be like 5 years in May. And so that was like really traumatic in and of itself. And so just because she was like my life. And so it was like, I kind of felt a bit abandoned, like when she moved to England, because it was always just me and her. And then it was like another feeling of abandonment when she passed away. So yeah, it's been a journey. And so yeah, like growing up, my mom, she was also overweight as well. Like, she was fat. And so she was very good at like being supportive. And like, if I would get upset with like people making fun of me or anything like that, or like, not being able to fit into clothes that my friends were fitting into, she was very supportive. And I think she, like herself growing up, she was big as a child, and she did all the things that she wanted to do. Like, she would swim, she was very active. So whenever I wanted to get into, whether it be dance or like sports or whatever, she was like very supportive. So, and I think she would tell me, like, you can do everything that everyone else can do, like, no matter your size. So I was very grateful for that, because I never really had, or at least I don't think family members really commented on my weight. And if they did, it wasn't around me. So I think my mom did a really good job of like supporting me with that and not feeling like awkward or like an outsider being overweight when like majority of people in your family are straight size. So yeah.
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 Wow. So you said that you were like heavier pretty much throughout your entire childhood.
Yeah. So there's never really been a time where I think I've been straight size or skinny or yeah, I've always really been overweight.
It's interesting you're referencing like the term straight sized. What do you mean by that?
See, and I heard this on another podcast too, where it's like they refer to people who aren't plus size as like straight size. I don't really know like a lot about it. This was like a podcast that I like listened to like years ago, and they referred to people who were smaller or straight size. So I do sometimes say that.
Well, it's just interesting because I have never heard that term. So, you know, somebody was listening, maybe they had never heard it as well. So I wanted to make sure I asked that question.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Did your family ever put pressure on you to like lose weight or anything?
No, I feel like, and I was thinking about this, I feel like it was mainly like from society and myself. So like I remember being a kid and like my mom taking me to like a nutritionist or seeing a dietitian. And now mind you, like when I was 19, I was diagnosed with like polycystic ovarian syndrome. So for women who have PCOS, like it's very hard to lose weight. You don't get your period, like all these things kind of like add up. So I did see a dietitian for a while when I was first diagnosed. And when I was a kid, I did see a nutritionist, and my mom was like supportive. She would say, if you want to go and do this, like I'm here to help you, and get you to where you want to be. But it was never like, you need to, like, you have to. If anything, it was coming from like doctors or like specialists or like society as a whole.
And you said your mom was thinner bodied, like as a mom, and then she was heavier when she was growing up?
No, she was always heavy. She was always overweight. Yeah.
Okay. And was she always dieting? Did you see that in her? Or she just kind of followed a same like nutritionist mindset type of a thing?
So she definitely like was on Weight Watchers and stuff as a kid, like all that kind of diet pads and everything. I think even before I was born, she was like into diets, but it never really like, she never really lost like tremendous amount of weight or anything like that. I think when I was seeing like a nutritionist and a dietitian, because she would obviously do the groceries when I was younger, but she would try to, but I feel like like diets never work. So I feel like both of us, it kind of failed in the end, and we were more miserable than happy. So
I have a lot of memories like that with my mom too, where she would, you know, like proclaim like, we're gonna lose weight, right? Like it was like, we're starting Monday, we're starting January 1st, whatever it was, and then, you know, go out and buy the stuff and then set your meal plans. And it's like from this young age, this like thought of, I'm starting fresh, like that gets ingrained in you almost, you know, as you're growing up. So do you feel like you kind of took that into like your teenage years, kind of like that yo-yo dieting?
Yeah, definitely. I remember always being like, okay, I'll just start Monday with my new diet. And like Monday would come and I was like, what am I, even now I find sometimes like that slips through my mind, like, oh, I'll start Monday. And then I'm like, wait a second, like, what am I doing? Like, that's not happening. I find that when I was in high school, it was a big deal. And I remember even being like, having gym class, and my gym teacher was very much like, okay, you need to like lose weight, and like, let's do these, like workouts and everything like that. And I was just like, no, I don't want to do this. Like, this isn't something, like I'll do it for the class to get a mark, but like, I'm big. I've been big all my life. Like, you're making me feel horrible right now. And
Yeah.
yeah, I got that a lot in gym class in high school. So, but definitely
Yeah,
like the whole diet thing, like that going in my head and being like, oh, I'll try this new thing out, or I'll do like a juice cleanse and like feel miserable throughout it all. Like, yeah.
Yes, I have so many like memories are like popping into my head as you're talking about gym class and then, you know, juice cleanses and all this because, you know, it was almost like, oh good, I'm so hungry. That means I'm losing weight
Right?
because I'm starving myself, or you have this like mentality of like I need to feel hunger almost. Otherwise you're not doing it right, you know? And it like kind of goes right back into when I was growing up and feeling that way. And I had a lot of pressure from my family to lose weight. It was constant. Even though everybody there was overweight themselves, they were just like, don't be like me, you know, like, okay, like, but you're still eating all the crap, you know? Like, what am I supposed to eat? Nothing? Air? I guess so. That's how I need to feel. Yeah, all this stuff is coming up for me too. So like during these teenage years, you also had dance classes, and that's kind of where your yoga journey began.
Yeah, when I was like about 15 in a dance class, like my dance teacher, my dance instructor, her daughter was a yoga teacher, and so we did a few classes with, I feel like I remember majority of it being about meditation. And it was like, it was great. And then I started, I think it was like a few years later, I started going to like yoga studios to do like hot yoga. And so that was great. So I did that. Me and a few of my friends did that for a few years on and off. And then, yeah, that's where I really started.
So when you would go with your friends, were they also larger bodied or fat, or were they much thinner?
They were thinner. I feel like I was growing up, I feel like I was the only one who was overweight, like who was fat. But with yoga, because I am pretty like flexible, when we would go to classes, they would kind of just look at me and be like, oh my gosh, you can do that, or like, what just happened? So I think a lot
Like
of times,
surprised.
yeah. And still, even to this day, like when I do things or if I go to a yoga class, the people, like my friends, are like, wow, like you're really flexible. I feel like I'm not as flexible as I was, but yeah, when I was in high school going to those classes, like majority of my friends were thin, so I think they kind of struggled with it a lot more than I did, just in terms of the flexibility aspect of it. So yeah.
What about you said you were bullied growing up. Do you remember any specific like experiences with that?
Only I think only like a few, and I feel like in high school I wasn't really bullied for my weight. And I think because I just, yeah, I don't think high school wasn't really that big, but elementary school was pretty bad. I feel like a lot of times I like block things out so that I don't remember. I just remember like, yeah, people being shocked that I could run as fast as like I could, or just being like, oh, you're so fat. And then, yeah, just it, yeah, it was a bit traumatic. I remember like going home and crying. I think me being upset more so than remembering exactly what people would say. Like, I think that a lot of times it was like, oh, I liked someone, and I would assume, or they would say like, oh, I don't like you because you're fat, kind of thing. So that would again like upset me even more. So that was, yeah, I think it was more so with that, as opposed to just like, I think people would make fun, and my crushes would make fun because I was overweight, as opposed to just like random kids being like, oh, you're fat. Like, but again, like I feel like I have blocked out a lot of it. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. That sounds pretty rough. Like, yeah, I can understand that a lot of the kind of bullying, and probably it doesn't seem like it's bullying, but these backhanded compliments of like, wow, you have such a pretty face. Like, if you lost some weight, like,
yeah,
that would be, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
it wasn't like trying to be mean, but it totally was.
yeah.
Or maybe it was. Like, people don't even realize like how their comments can come across, you know, but that pretty face comment, it came up many, many times for me. It sounds like it did for you too.
Yeah, it did. Or people would be like, yeah, you have such like a pretty face, but and then like that was it, and then that was
right.
That. Like, okay, thanks, like I don't really know what to say, like how do you respond to that,
like nothing else is pretty. You just like point it out though.
Yeah.
So what was your relationship with your body as you were growing up? Do you have any memories of like it being positive or negative?
Yeah, I remember being, I think it was like probably in my late teens, just like, and I just it being from like society feeling like watching like music videos and being like, why am I not that thin? Or like, why can't I lose weight? And that was like, it got to the point I remember where I would have to like stop watching music videos at one point because it was really bad. And it was like, I was really depressed about it. Like, I remember being very depressed about my weight and just being like, why is it so hard to lose?
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, that was pretty bad. I think elementary school kids teasing, yeah, that was hard. But I think when it got to like high school and even like, yeah, late teens, like even after high school, like starting college, it was just like, I felt nothing really fit me, like the things that I wanted to wear, like I couldn't. But then I remember going shopping with my friends and them just being able to pick up things, and then having them say like, oh, why don't you try this on? And I'm like, you know that nothing's going to fit me in the store. And then them being like, well, you never know if you don't try. And then that was probably one of the worst things that like some of them could say, because I'm like, you're not trusting me that I know my thought. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, it was almost like they wanted me to feel better, but in retrospect, they're making me feel worse. So,
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they have no idea what it feels like to try and put on a pair of shorts or pants that aren't stretchy and can't even get them up over your hips.
Yeah.
Because your hips are curvy and theirs are not.
Exactly.
And like, junior sizing will never fit a curvy person.
No, it's true. Yeah, they have yeah.
So tell me about like being in your 20s. You said that you kind of fell off the yoga train and you became like too self-conscious.
Yeah, I think that I'm just trying to think, where was that? Early 20s. Yeah, I think it was more so I would start to like go to the gym, but it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to do yoga, just because even now sometimes I feel self-conscious like going to classes, and like and it's when I do go to classes and I do see someone that's like my size, I get so excited and I feel more like I feel a lot more comfortable. So in my early 20s, I think it was just more so I would just go to the gym with my friends and we would just either do cardio or kind of work out. And so, or if we did a class, it was like, okay, we were in the back of the class, and like, I don't think a lot of them are really into yoga, so we would kind of do other classes. So yeah, I never really did a lot of yoga classes, just because I did feel really self-conscious and not welcome. But I don't know if that was just like in my mind or if I was just projecting that feeling. So, so yeah. And then
oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
So you said you were feeling self-conscious. What were the things? Just your body size? Was it how you were moving, being able to do the yoga? Let's just go a little deeper with that one.
Yeah, I think it was my body size and like some of the poses, like going into downward dog, like not being able to hold it for as long as everyone else is holding it. And then like going into Cobra and like being able to hold up like my weight and just seeing other people being able to do that. That was kind of frustrating. And then just having to always end up in child's pose because I'm like, okay, I'm so tired and I can't hold this pose for this amount of time. And at the time as well, in my early 20s, I didn't really know a lot about modifications. And I found that in a lot of classes, they weren't giving you modifications. So it's like they would have blocks in class, but they would never explain, oh, this can be used for this. And like, you know, you could use this block in downward dog this way or anything like that. So, so that was pretty hard. So I think just my body was very much like, I was like, I can't do this. And then I kept very stubborn. So like, I did kind of a lot of times I felt like I just had to give up because I was like, I can't do what everyone else is doing.
So. Yeah, that sounds super frustrating because, yeah, the accessibility, I feel like it's now coming to the forefront of yoga. Finally, some people are speaking out about it, writing books about it. And yeah, maybe when you were in your 20s, which was what, like over 10 years ago. That wasn't even, I mean, you were lucky if your class even changed up, right? Like, I feel like 10 years ago, yoga was like same 10 postures, warm up, cool down type of thing. And then now it's like, well, let's really see what our bodies could do if we added a block. And oh my gosh, actually blocks can sometimes like make you better.
Like,
more comfortable, even in a thinner body, you know? And so like, I just feel like I've had that experience too, where there's blocks in the corner, but nobody's even touching them. And should I be touching them? Like, I don't even know. Cause you just don't, when you're first starting out as like maybe a larger body person and you're just trying to like try it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So you said that you did other classes in between, cause you had kind of like a few years where you didn't do as much yoga. Were you like more focused on your career or college?
I think I think kind of college and my career really like took over. And so, and then from high school to college, like you don't really talk to your high school friends as much because we're all in different places. So I think, that's where I wasn't really working out as much. And I did gain a lot of weight. And at the time too, like I was just newly diagnosed with like polycystic ovarian syndrome. So that kind of, I got a little depressed around that. And just with college too, like I feel like that took over and like meeting new people. And so I didn't really work out that much during my early 20s kind of thing.
So let's talk about the polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Because
I feel like a lot of people are coming forward with this. It seems to be like, you know, the, what is the one, My Big Fat Fabulous Life.
Oh
like,
yeah.
She has it.
Yeah.
And I think I interviewed one other yogi, which will be coming out later.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe before this episode.
Nice. Yeah.
That she also had the PCOS. I have a friend who also has it. So like I said, I feel like it's something that's coming more and more talked about and people are opening up about it. Maybe it's just wasn't diagnosed as much before, but how did you feel after you were diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed and I think I was depressed, but I think it was more so the weight aspect where I know some people who have it were like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a lot harder for me to have kids or for me to even like, what's the point? And so, because I never really wanted to have kids and it wasn't until my mom passed away that I was like, okay, I want something that has like her DNA kind of thing. Like I want, it was, I feel like I didn't really know a lot about it when I was first diagnosed and I kind of just brushed it off to the side just because I was like, I'm not really wanting to have kids right now. And so I'm just going to continue kind of doing what I'm doing. And then as I got older, like hirsutism is another, like is something that you develop. Like, you have a high testosterone level, and like low progesterone and all that stuff. So I think that made me like having hirsutism made me really self-conscious, just with like having hair on your chin or like having like excess hair. And it, so I was put on medication for a while. And then I think it was probably about 5 years ago, I started seeing like a naturopath, because I was seeing an endocrinologist and just did not mix at all. Like, she, it was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, she was just like, I think I gained some weight. And she was like, well, you know, you're never going to have kids. And like, I just started crying. I was like, who says that to someone?
Oh,
like,
my God.
It just, there are different avenues you can take for someone. And someone who is smaller could have PCOS too. Like, weight's not necessarily, like, you don't necessarily have to be fat to have PCOS. Like, I know a lot of people who are skinny and who have had families and kids and who have PCOS. So when she said that, I was like, okay, I'm never coming back here again. And so I do see my naturopath every so often and kind of see about taking supplements more so than like, I call it Western medicine or Mormon and all that stuff. So but yeah, I find that the only thing with like me and with the PCOS now is I'm like, I do kind of want to get it where it is under control, but I find that like in life there's stressors, and so with having all those stressors and things that you can't really control, it definitely, like, there's months where I don't get my period, and if I don't take certain supplements or medication, then I'm not going to get it. And so that's frustrating, because my body like kind of breaks down and I get cramping, but then it's like nothing, and I don't have a menstrual cycle, which is a bit, which can be really frustrating. So
thank you so much for sharing that, because I'm sure there's listeners who have PCOS and can completely relate to all the struggles that you've had with it outside of just the weight, you know. One of my friends who have it, like, she's always had thin hair on top of her head. And she ended up getting like hair extensions, and then she started talking more openly about it. But you know, that's, those are just things like, you know, being feminine or feeling like you're female, you know, like, and I know there's a whole culture of like non-binary, but if you associate yourself as female and then you have this and then you can't feel that way, or there are things that happen where you're not able to feel, you know, my friend had opened up to me saying like, I just don't even feel like I'm a girl, you know, and she had such a late like kind of coming out, like she never really kissed a guy until she was in well into her 20s because she was so self-conscious. And yeah, that's something that I think a lot of women who have the PCOS struggle with, and I thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it'll help people kind of understand, you know, and then that there's natural ways to go about it. And if you hear something negative from a Western medicine route, you can still go down a different path.
Yeah, there's still hope out there and support.
Thank you.
No problem.
So kind of going back into your 20s and having the PCOS and then stopping the yoga, then your mom passed away. You had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you found the yoga again. Do you want to talk a little bit more about your mom passing, or maybe just, so she was in England at the time. Were you close, or?
So what happened was, I guess it was probably 6 years ago, she moved to England, remarried, and then, no, maybe that was 7 years ago. And then 6 years ago, so like back in 2012, I ended up moving out to England to work as a teaching assistant, because I was like, it was hard when she moved because the whole idea was for her to stay here, get married, and live here. So when she moved, I was like, well, I always wanted to see England and live there, so I might as well because my mom's out there. So it was supposed to be on a 2-year visa, and I ended up staying there for 8 months because it just wasn't like she was set in her life path kind of thing, and I needed to move back to Toronto. So then I guess maybe I moved back to Toronto. Then probably a year and a bit later, she died of a heart attack, ended up passing away. And so, yeah, I like my world like flipped over, and I was just, it was hard. And I think it's interesting because like every day for like a year, I would just like cry. And so really, like, I remember people being like, oh, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm here. Like, I'm living. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was really, really hard. And at the time as well, I was in a very, like, stressful job. And so I ended up, I attended, like, I went to a gym. And I was just like, you know what, let me just try out this yoga class. So then I went to it and just kept going. Like, I made a point to going, like, doing yoga 3 times a week just so that, like, I wouldn't feel stressed or, like, and it was as well to kind of just do something else that was productive and not something that was just me sitting on a couch doing nothing kind of thing. So
yeah,
I started doing that and still grieving and still feeling sad, but I was like, you know what, at least it's a class and I'm doing something and I'm there, like I'm doing it. And I think that's where I started getting more into yoga. I wish I had have gone to a studio, because I feel like when you do yoga at a gym, there's not really, it's kind of just like the instructor and you just do vinyasas or whatever. Like, there's not really much help, I find, when you're doing it at a gym. So I mean, if I could go back, I would probably have started going to a studio as opposed to a gym, but yeah. So then I did that, and then my friend, she actually is a yoga instructor right now. She just like did her 200 yoga teacher training, and I started getting into like this body positive community too. And there's an instructor and then a few, like one yoga teacher. And I started getting into that community, which was amazing. And then my friend who just finished her 200 hour training, she was telling me about the training in the studio. And that's how I kind of started doing my yoga teacher training, because I think at the time, so this was probably like last December, September to December, I was kind of just like, I don't want to do what I'm doing right now. Like, I work with special needs and behavioral students, and I just was like, I like helping people, but I don't like getting beat up every day by these like kids who need to be put in restraints or whatever, and I don't like doing that. And so I was like, what about, like, even I had a few friends that were like, why don't you do your yoga training? And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so that's how this all started, I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was brought up mostly about from like friends around you who thought that that would be a good fit for you.
Yeah, because anytime I would talk to them, they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? Or like, what are you doing this weekend? And I'm like, oh, just going to a yoga class. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I did have it in the back of my head. Just like, I want to do something that's like body positive, but I just don't really quite know. And then, yeah, just the whole yoga thing came up and I was like, let's see where this takes me. Like, yeah.
I love that.
Thanks. Yeah.
So how do you feel about going into yoga studios now?
So now I kind of like it, because I think when I first started, when my friend when I first started going with my friend in like January, she took me to the studio where she got her training from. I felt like safe because I was like, okay, there's another person that is, you know, my size who's like, who can do this. And I feel like I've learned a lot from her. So it feels good. There are times where I do go into a class and I make sure that I'm like in the back of the room and like in the corner. So like, I like no one's behind me. And there are some times where I do get frustrated because I can't do a particular, I feel like it's downward dog that gets me. Like that pose, I'm like, I love you, but you frustrate me sometimes. So, but yeah, I like it. I feel like the studio that I go to now, like I like it because the instructors are like, they do give you modifications. And I find that as well, I kind of know some modifications throughout the years of doing yoga where I'm like, okay, I can add these blocks or take them away, or like I can go deeper into this pose, but I don't necessarily have to. And I just kind of like let my guard down, and I just try to remind myself that like if I can't get a pose that I did yesterday, like it's not the end of the world. Like it's a learning experience. So yeah, I think I have better days now with going into studios than I did years ago. So
Yeah, and I think it for you especially, it was about finding the right one.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then also, I just want to say, because you had talked so much about your mom and everything, and I just appreciate you opening up about that, because like I said, you know, we're gonna hopefully have lots of listeners, and somebody probably will have gone through something like that, and that is very relatable. So I appreciate you speaking about that.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell me more about why you practice yoga. Why now do you practice yoga?
I think now, so obviously life gets like stressful, and I feel like I practice yoga because I feel like it just helps with my physical body and like mentally as well. Like I find that especially with my job, there's times where I'm just like, because I'm not necessarily where I want to be in terms of work. And so I can get really stressed out. And I find that when I do yoga, there's moments of like, okay, well, it's all just about now. Like, so let's just focus on the now. And it gives me like a sense of peace and like hope as well. So I feel like yoga really keeps me sane, like to be honest. So,
I feel the same
yeah.
way. Like, yoga is that, like, you know, for me, I do it first thing in the morning. So it's like, if I can get at least, even if it's only 5 minutes, even if it's only 10 minutes of just like slowing down my breath and just thinking to myself, I can be in such a better place for the rest of the day. So I completely understand the sanity
Yeah.
that comes with practicing yoga. Do you have a time that you like practicing?
I think it's, I want to start practicing early in the morning. And I do see like your videos and I'm like, I need to do that. Like you're such an inspiration. Like I love it.
Oh,
I love
thanks.
it. I find that I do it more so at nighttime just so that I can settle myself because there are times where like I don't really sleep that well. So I find that doing like deep breathing and meditation, and some stretching before going to bed. I find that that really helps.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually just posted like a little personal restorative practice. It wasn't like anything except for me doing it on my living room floor while I was watching The Tiger King
Oh, I think I saw
on
that.
Netflix.
Yeah.
When I went, I slept like a baby that night, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I need to do this more often. And of course, like, then the yoga brain kind of takes over. Like, I do it in the morning, I do it
Right.
at night, like, might as well do it after I brush my teeth, you know
Yeah,
what I'm saying? Like,
definitely.
yoga all day long.
Yeah, if only, if only. Yeah.
I know, if I had the time. But I mean, right now you're practicing at home because we're going through
Yeah.
this crazy shelter in place thing. What's that like in comparison to the studio? How are you feeling about it?
It's hard. I mean, my apartment isn't the biggest, so I find like even when we were doing my yoga teacher training, and at the end we kind of just do some meditations and breath work. And so it's like you're on Zoom and people are seeing like me kind of in my kitchen living room, like where I'm kind of lying down. So my apartment's very small. So right now it's hard because I also find that I'm really about community. And so going into the studio, it's like you have people around and it's like, it motivates you as well. And it's just,
right.
And so doing yoga online, I feel like it's a little harder for me. And I feel like I'm more extroverted as well. So this whole quarantine thing is a little hard anyways, like without the whole yoga thing, but definitely I'm missing being in the studio. So, yeah.
I completely agree. I'm more extroverted as well.
Yeah.
And I can hear that you are, because you say like every time you go work out, you know, especially as you're growing up and well into your 20s, you always went with friends and things like that, and you have that support around you. So to not have it now, that must be really hard.
Yeah. It's definitely a journey.
are people, so you said people were surprised to see you practicing yoga. Like how are you able to tell they would say something at the end?
I think it would just be like just like I remember even telling someone like, oh yeah, I'm doing my yoga teacher training, and just like you kind of see like a shock on their face, like a oh, like really, and then their like voice goes high, like they're kind of like it's like
yeah,
and so yeah, and just even people being like, oh well, good for you, and I'm like, would you really say that to someone that is like not fat? Like I don't know about that. So I think just having like those responses, like not from my friends, but if I go to work and say like I talk to someone about it, they're like, oh really, like that's cool, and I'm like, okay. So yeah, I think that's where I really see people being like, oh, I would not expect you to say that. Like,
yeah.
And I find that, sorry, what?
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I find that as well, like in our world too, it's like more so now, which is great. But like 10 years ago, you never really saw like bigger people being like, I'm going to be a personal trainer, or like, I want to, like, I do yoga daily, or like, I just ran a marathon. Like, even when I was younger, I used to run a few 5Ks, and telling people, oh yeah, I'm training for my 5K or my 10K, they'd be like, what? Like, really? Like, so, yeah, it's just, you never would hear that, or at least I wouldn't, or even saying like, yeah, I'm on the swim team, or I work out. People are like, really? So, I find that now it's gotten a bit better, but I still get people who are shocked to know that I do yoga or that I am doing my training for it. So.
Yes, I was a runner in a past life as well. So, and yeah, it definitely helped me lose a lot of weight, and that was a byproduct of it. Yeah, it can, you get that response when you're first starting out, and then you become like almost addicted to running. I don't know how deep you got into it, but yeah, I was running like nonstop.
Yeah.
It just depends. It can like really be something so repetitive that's like soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can just be completely boring. Like I've heard the response from, you know, both types of people. So but at the same time, like, yeah, like having that response of like, oh yeah, I'm running a half marathon, like, you are,
yeah,
like how can you run a half marathon? So
yeah.
I totally understand. So some questions on being a fat yogi. Mm-hmm. What do you think fat yogi means to you, like being a fat yogi?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just, that's just who I am. Like, I think it's, you kind of, as a fat yogi, you like, kind of, I don't know, for me, I find that like, there were times where I would push out of my comfort zone or do things where I thought like, okay, I couldn't do that, but here I am doing it. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. I feel like that question's kind of hard for me, but
right.
Like I just say like, oh, that's like me, or I don't know, that's, yeah, that's just what I'm doing or kind of who I am.
Right. What does being a yogi mean to you?
Being a yogi, yeah, I feel like it's someone who like practices yoga and like practices, but only also kind of encompasses it in their like whole life, like kind of follows like ways of yoga practices. And yeah, I feel like that one's a little hard too.
I know, and I've heard from different people, you know, they don't think of themselves as yogis, yet they practice all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to like have this platform to help people see like being a fat yogi, just, you know, can be just being yourself.
Yeah.
Just like you said, is like that's just something that you can really just identify as, because it doesn't mean that you have to do a certain pose or you have to, you know, think a certain way. It just means that you are who you are and you can practice yoga and you can have fat on your body. And like, that means I'm a fat yogi.
Yeah, definitely.
And how about a positive experience you have around being a fat yogi?
I think positive experience, I find that maybe it's, there are times when I do go into classes and I do yoga and like there's this like feeling of just me being proud of myself for being able to do a certain move. And I think that with having years of like a dance background as well, so I feel like with balance, which is like one thing, I feel like when you're having to do tree pose or something like that, and just, I think a positive experience, kind of, I feel like that's my positive experience when I go in and I'm like, okay, let's do this. And like, I kind of push all the negativity away and I just like do it and I don't put any like limits on myself or stress out about it. And then I do finally get that certain pose and I'm like, yeah, okay, I did this. Like, this is awesome kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's when you're able to not bring in any outside thinking. It's like you're just in your body, feeling all the feels.
Exactly.
And then you're like, now I'm able to do it because I'm having this yogi mindset, this like yoga feeling in your body.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about being a fat yogi?
My favorite thing is probably just like that people don't expect it, just like the look on their faces and knowing that like I can do somewhat the same thing that you can do, and not, with that person not being a fat yogi. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite pose in your fat yogi body?
I love reverse warrior. I like Warrior Two, and I love I love child pose for the reason that I love that it kind of, you can do it where like your legs are open a little bit more, and I just I love how it makes my hips feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are some of your fat yogi goals?
Probably, I don't know if this is like even possible, but I would love one day to be able to do like a wall stand or a hand headstand. Is that it? That's probably one of it. I think another goal is to be a fat yogi instructor and just have it where like I make people feel welcome, and anybody who is any size really who is reluctant to do yoga will be like, okay, let's do it. Like, I'm going to try it out. So just being that fat yogi instructor and having the space to be able to provide for people. So
Yes, like I feel like you could totally do that. You could totally be an inspiration.
Yeah, one day, yeah. Yeah.
You're 10 weeks away or 9 weeks
Yeah,
now, right?
9 weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is your relationship with your body right now?
It's definitely better than it was, like, even, I don't know, 5, 7 years ago. So I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if this is just because I've been fat my whole life. So it's almost like I've kind of like grown into, I don't know, grown into it maybe. But now I find that I love it. I feel like there's days where I'm like, you know, because of, and I feel like this is mainly only because of the PCOS, but I'm like, okay, if I was a bit, if I did lose some weight, I feel like that might help my body in the sense of being able to have my menstrual cycle every month kind of thing. But I feel overall, I do, yeah, I love my body now.
I love that.
Took a while though, but yeah.
So, what, how did you get to that path? What do you think are some things that you like steps that you took to get to that loving your body mindset? And maybe put it in words that are like advice for people who might be struggling with being fat.
Right. I found that like looking up like body positive like influencers and people who are actually, because I know that there's a lot of people who are like, I'm a body influencer, and I'm like, but are you really? Like, so just really looking up, like I remember when I was in England and not really knowing a lot of people, like just looking up a few body positive influencers. And then with I live in Toronto, Canada, so I feel like being a part of this body positive community as well, making sure that you're like making sure that I was around people who, even if they were smaller than me, didn't talk about like weights and diets and everything like that, because that's like a trigger for me. So just making sure that, like, I don't know, that you, yeah, look into communities that are body positive, that because that really helped me, and it continues to this day. So
Yeah, I feel like that is such a good piece of advice because having whatever mindset that you have, you need to like maybe change it. And there's only one way you can change it, and that's by just changing it yourself. And a lot of times you have to have some sort of a, like profound experience, or maybe the words of somebody who you're talking to or reading online, and something like that can really influence your mindset in a positive way so that you're more accepting of what who you are, and maybe having the understanding of why you should be accepting of who you are too, which I think the body positive community is really, really good at educating people on the understanding of like your body is beautiful no matter what, you know, and then showing it out there in a way where it's like, that's me. Like, if she can love herself and she looks exactly like me, like, why can't I love myself, you know?
And like, especially having like kind of detaching from those people who are like, oh, that person looks that way, like they're not beautiful at all. And I'm like, but like, someone, I might think that that person's beautiful, like no matter what their size is. And so taking like all of that, like that notion and what those people are saying, I feel like starting there first is a big thing, because it can almost become toxic. Like I've had it where times, like when I was younger, and like that's all that my friends would talk about is like weight and like, oh, that person's gorgeous, skinny, and all this stuff. And I'm like, so you're saying that I'm not pretty because I'm fat? It didn't make sense to me at all. Like, so I kind of had to start there, and just if friends did start talking about it, like remove myself from the situation kind of thing, like that conversation. Because if I didn't, I would have like gone crazy, I think. So,
I completely understand because yeah, there's and like I said in the beginning, people don't understand how these comments are just so they just tear you down. Like little things that they can say, it's just not worth your time to spend like precious moments where you could be going around somebody who has a positive mindset versus this negative around body image and everything else. I mean, obviously they need to do work on themselves when they start projecting those kinds of things. So how do you feel about the word fat right now?
I don't mind it. I feel like maybe even probably like 2 years ago, I would never say the word fat. And I think, it wasn't until a friend, who's also fat, like she would just, say like, oh yeah, I'm fat, or not me, but like in general, like just saying the word out loud. And I'd almost start to kind of like cringe, and I'm like, and then I thought about it, why am I doing that? Like, I'm fat. Like, and it's not like, it's only negative because people are placing like this negative like thought to it, and it's not. So like, why can't you use it? So like, ever since that and being around my friend who said it all the time, I just am like, yeah, I'm fat. And it's kind of funny to see people who don't really know you when you do say that word, how they're like, you're not fat. I'm like, no, I am. Like, you're a different size than me, but I'm fat. And so it's, yeah, I use that word all the time. So now, but yeah, I love it. It's a descriptor.
Yeah.
Descriptor.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a descriptor. I feel the same way. And I just feel like people associate the word fat with ugly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, that's nothing to do with being fat. Like,
yeah,
there are millions of fat people, and you know, none of them are ugly in my mind. Like, exactly. They just have fat.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So here's a question. It makes me cringe to ask, but I think it's important to ask. What do you hate about your body?
I hate that, again, this is like going back to like PCOS, but I feel like I hate that, like, I can't get my period regularly. Like, I feel like if I didn't have PCOS and I was the same size that I am and getting my periods regularly, I think that there would be times where it wouldn't pass in my head, like, oh, I should lose some weight. Because I feel like the only time I ever say I feel like I should lose weight is because I would want to have my periods regulated. But then there's times as well where that doesn't even happen. So I think right now that question is probably just the fact that, like, my menstrual cycle doesn't happen. That's, like, probably the one thing that I can think of right now that I don't run my body.
Yeah, you know, I thank you so much for sharing that, because so many women are like, I hate my period. But then, you know, to hear that somebody hates the fact that their body can't give them their period, it's like, you know, just kind of showing some perspective on a bigger situation. So I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. And then what do you love about your body?
I like my boobs. I don't know. I feel like I love them so much. And I just, I guess more of like, on a different note, I like that there's times where, like, it does surprise me. And I think this goes to, like, when I am in a yoga class and they're like, okay, do this pose or this pose. And I like that my body can do those poses when I didn't think that they could.
Yeah.
So I like that as well.
Yeah. My favorite is, like, maybe you're in like a tabletop.
Yeah.
And they maybe have you bend your knee so that your leg is up, and then being able to, like, actually do the bind with your hand from behind.
Right.
Something like that. You know, it depends. Sometimes my hips are too tight to grab it, but when I can, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got this. Yeah. And, you know, some thinner bodies maybe never have a struggle with that, but, like, getting a bind like that, or even just, like, putting your arms behind your back and then being able to grasp them to, like, open your chest more, like, you might get super deep in that. And then it just opens up your chest and you're like, I didn't even think I had the room to do that because of all my back fat. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I totally can do this, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that too. And I, on a personal note, I love my chest as well, my boobs.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with them currently just because I'm breastfeeding my daughter and she's almost two right. And we're hopefully at the end, but I think she's trying to ramp it back up.
Yeah. So yeah.
I'm like, get off of me. I'm done with this.
Oh, yeah. You know?
But yes, I love the fact that at least I have a larger chest, a bosom, and it fills out the rest of my body, you know, it's like proportioned.
Right.
So
yeah,
I love that too.
Yeah.
What do you think about when you see other fat yogis practicing yoga?
I like love it. It probably makes me so excited. And, it also, I guess it's just doing, like being in yoga teacher training, like it gives me hope as well, because I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. like they're instructors, they're doing their thing. It is possible, because like, so that's something that I love. Like I get super excited. I love it. I want to be like, where do you teach? Can I come? Like, yes. I love it. Yeah.
Yes. So if you're listening to this and you're fat or half fat and you're practicing yoga on a regular basis, post the pictures. We want to
yes,
see.
Yeah.
Yes. I want more people to be posting their yoga journeys, even, you know, tag the show if you are, because I would love to just like spotlight people who maybe don't normally post things like that, because I just think people want to see it. And you might think you're too self-conscious, but like, just like you said, it empowers you and inspires you too, as somebody who's training to be a yoga yeah. instructor. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
What, how about some last words on the topic of being fat? Any advice, any thoughts?
Just like love yourself. I feel like, and I say that, and it's so hard to get to that point. Well, for me, it was so hard to get to that point in life. But I feel like once you are able to accept you for you, like there's just like a weight off your shoulders and you just feel so much better as a person. And it's almost like once you start loving yourself, you can start living your life kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So my advice is just like try your best and make sure you have like people in your life who are positive people. Because if you don't, it's like, yeah, you feel alone and you feel like it's a hard journey. So yeah, find people who are body positive and a community that is accepting. And I find that when that happens, you can slowly start to accept yourself for who you are. So
that's great advice. I love that. I completely agree.
Yeah. Thanks.
What do you want to plug? Anything?
Yeah. So I have a few friends who are like in the body positive community who are doing yoga. And I have their Instagram handles or whatever though. Yeah. And then just like the studio where I do yoga, which is at Yoga Space, which is in Toronto. It's a awesome. Great studio to go to. Highly recommend it. And
what's your Instagram handle?
Mine is _DEELESLIE.
Awesome. So people can start following you yeah. and how you're going through yoga teacher training. And then you can give me, I think you gave them to me already, the handles of those other fat yogis that you think are so awesome. I think it was like Dear.
Yeah, Dear Yoga. And then like there's a Body Positive Dear Fitness yoga. And then Fringish. Yes. They're great.
Fringish.
And they show different, more so my friend who her handle is like Fringish. She shows mm-hmm. different modifications. And she has like, it's all on her Instagram and it's wonderful to see that. So.
Yes, I love Shannon's account.
Yeah, she's
I actually did interview her. Awesome. She'll be on the podcast.
That's great.
As well. So it's awesome that you guys have connected and are, you know, uplifting each other. So that's so cool. All right. So we've kind of come to the end of the show. I have five favorite questions to ask you.
Okay.
I didn't ask them in your like little bio part. So if you need an extra moment, that's fine.
Okay.
So the first one is, what is your favorite meal?
Pad Thai.
Ooh, yes. Favorite TV show?
Oh no. Black Mirror. I love Black Mirror.
Ooh,
yeah.
Favorite. What's your favorite episode on Black Mirror?
All of them? No. I can't remember their names, but I feel like I love all of them.
Mine is White Rabbit.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
So it's my, if people have never watched Black Mirror, I'm like, we got to watch White Rabbit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like in your face, like horrific, but it is, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just something just so crazy about that episode.
Yeah.
Favorite book?
Oh no.
every question is an, oh no,
I'm like, where are my books? Oh man. Okay, I don't remember the name of the book, but the author is John Connolly, and the book that I'm reading right now, it's called The Gates, but he has another book that he wrote prior to that one, and that one's probably my favorite book, but I can't remember. I know the author is John Connolly, and he writes, like, one of his books is called The Gates.
What's the genre and what's the book about?
It's like fantasy, but it's like a kid who, so not The Gates, but the other book is just about a kid who, man, I've read this book so long ago. It's like his fantasy world. And then it's like he's trying to get back home. But
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much just fantasy. It's pretty interesting. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Instagram account?
Oh, I do like, so my friend Body Positive Fitness, her Instagram account is pretty cool because she is a body positive, like fitness, like a coach. And she shows like, when she has clients like working out, and I just love watching that of people who are sizes and like working out. She is probably one of my, favorite accounts. Yeah.
And hers is Body Positive Fitness _, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. And then what's your favorite way to spend a day off?
Probably going to a yoga class. And then either like going for walks with like friends, hopefully, which can happen soon after this whole quarantine thing.
I know.
Just like spending the day with friends, really. Because life gets so busy that you hardly get a chance to really see people when you get older. So just having that time is what I love.
I'm the same way. I'm the one that's always planning all things.
Yeah.
Because it's like nobody else does it.
Yeah.
And then if you blink your eye, it's 5 years later.
Right. Yeah. I hear that. I hear that.
I'm in the same boat as you. I'm like trying to, and that's, I think my love language is time spent with people.
Yeah, mine too.
So
quality time.
So it's like, it's super important for me to make time for relationships. So same thing, same.
Yeah,
I feel you, girl.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So any last thoughts on anything we talked about today?
No, I think we covered a lot. This is great talking to you. And I just like love what you do. And I love that you have this like platform where you have this podcast and even your Instagram, and you're able to just like do you kind of thing. Like, I love that. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
No,
I just loved interviewing you. This was so much fun. You had so much to add to the podcast. I feel like this is going to be such an amazing episode. So
thank you.
I just want to say, while we're still chatting, just thank you so much for taking the time to share your story, because I think it will make a difference for somebody.
No problem. I hope so. Like, hopefully people don't feel like they're alone out there in this world. So Yeah.
Totally. Well, thank you again, Dee. It's been amazing. And thank you to everybody. Hey guys, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the show. And if you want to be a supporter, please do not forget to subscribe. Subscribing really helps the show out, as well as leaving a review. I would love to see some of your guys' reviews, even if there's some advice in there. I will read it online, you know. I just really, really, really would appreciate it so, so much. So, and then the last thing I want to ask you guys to do is to share. So if you're listening to this right now, screenshot the podcast and share it to your Instagram stories or your Instagram page and tag the show in it, the Fat Yogi Show. This helps people find the show so more people can listen in, and I would so greatly appreciate it. You guys are amazing and I love you so much. Thank you so much for supporting the show, and here's this week's guest. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode, you guys. You are amazing. And I just want to leave you with checking out our website, thefatyogishow.com. I post blogs every single week of our guests, as well as the podcast and lots more info. So please, please, please go check that out. Sign up for the newsletter. You definitely don't want to miss out on that. And you guys have been so amazing. Thank you so much for listening. Namaste. Bye. Welcome to the Fat Yogi Show, featuring interviews with amazing fat yogis with compelling conversations about being fat and their yoga practice. These interviews create a space for inclusivity and support for fat yogis from all over. I'm Tiffany Crow, yoga instructor, fat chick, and now podcast host, with a goal of giving power to anyone to say, I am a fat yogi. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Today's guest comes to us from Toronto, Canada. She began dabbling in yoga in high school and truly fell in love with yoga about 5 years ago. She's a fat body positive advocate on the daily and loves spending her time with friends and family. She's currently completing her 200-hour yoga teacher training and enjoys learning about different modifications to put into her daily yoga practice. She's recently started an inspiring yoga Instagram page, _ my yoga time. Welcome to the show, Delcine.